The good. The bad. The ugly.
Welcome to Sustain Nutrition's podcast, Chewing the Fat, where Joe and James will be discussing all things good, bad and ugly regarding training and nutrition. So pull up your pants, put your best foot forward and get ready for some serious oral pleasure. Without further ado, here are your hosts, Joe and James.
Sustain.
Nutrition.
Chewing.
The.
Fat.
Podcast.
Yes. Holiday Boo Boos part two. Part two, Joe. Have we ever done a two-parter? I think we started one time we did fitness sat nav one episode. It won and done. So I think this could be our first two-parter.
It was an instant classic. There was so much good quality information, didn't need a second one.
I couldn't keep up with the downloads. Couldn't keep up with the demand. So we had to just cancel it. We had to can it. So last week we talked about how not to and how to diet preparing for your holiday. Interesting. I had a good conversation with a client just to slip this in, where she was panicking because she's got a holiday in 3 months. And like, look, we've got to be realistic. You're not going to be where you want to be this summer, but you can be for next summer. Let's think bigger picture. And I understand, you know, going back to reflecting on last week's podcast, when we talk about like people want this, these fast results. And I totally understand that. And everyone wants to Amazon Prime it. And it's very rare that I order something off Amazon now that's not primed, because I don't want it in 3 weeks. I don't want it in 6 weeks. I want it tomorrow or the day after. But that idea of like, okay, yes, I'm on my way. That's the positive. I've started. I'm taking actions today that are going to lead me towards my goals. And I'm not going to be there when I want to be there, but I can be for next summer if I just keep going. Sadly, I think a lot of people will diet for the holiday and then sack it off for the rest of the year, and then have exactly the same panic next year. Don't be that guy, or girl, or person, or circle.
2023, glad you got it back.
So anyway, yeah, last week we talked about the kind of how to not diet for holiday, and how to best diet for holiday in a realistic fashion. And this episode, we're going to give you some advice on how we would advise, or how I did, and Joe will give you advice on how not to eat on a holiday after his 17-pound gain in Chicago or whatever it was. And that's it. And again, this is all advice. You take from it what you want. They're not rules. They're not hard and fast. This is just like, okay, this is what I did on my holiday that helped me indulge without overindulging and come back without going, I've gained 7 pounds.
We just work between our two respective holidays and contrast and compare different points and the different approaches that we took?
Yeah, I suppose a quick caveat, you can do whatever the hell you want. You can go and you can eat croissants all day, if you so please. Croissants and beer and Baileys, I don't know, whatever you fancy. As long as you're happy to accept the repercussions. For me, in my experience, a lot of people will go away and they will overindulge and they'll come back and they'll realise that they've had a super, super overindulgent holiday and regret those choices. If there's guilt involved, if there's regret involved, then there's something we need to change. If you go away and you eat what you want guilt-free, there's nothing that needs to be changed.
And a further caveat to that is that you don't necessarily need guilt and regret to change. So for my example, I think it was, March time, getting months right, seamless, that I went away. I was in America for 2 weeks and I don't have any feelings of guilt or regret about the foods that I ate, but I also ate to excess. So when people say, you know, it's really nice to go away and to eat whatever you want and to enjoy different foods, is if you ask me now to recall the different meals I had, I'd probably be able to get past 5 things that I ate. And over the course of 2 weeks, you know, if you're looking at meals and snacks, then there's going to be 50 servings at least of food in there that I had. Now, how many of them were nutritious and balanced and low calorie? Very few, you know, compared to my meals back home. And I think one of the important things here is that you can still reflect and be willing to do things differently without negative emotions. And that's probably where I'd want people to be. I want people to get to that point where they don't regret the things they've done. Because ultimately, that's March. I can't do anything about it now. But what I can do is I can learn from it and look at it and say, right, okay, that was actually excessive. I probably didn't need to have the hot chocolate and the donut when I went to some of the places. I could have had one or the other. And actually, or I could have shared some of those things, say with my partner or actually with the people who I was with. And so it's just being able to do that. I think that's a key skill here, because so often people come back and say, there's nothing I do differently. And then that shuts the door on making any progress going forwards, because they're so keen to not reflect on the negatives. And they're so keen to just enjoy it, because we're meant to be talking about how you eat when you're away, to just eat whatever they want. Because any kind of restriction is a negative feeling. It's not really, is it? Let's be honest, going to America and having, you know, pancakes for breakfast, then one hot chocolate instead of hot chocolate and a donut, that's not restriction. Let's be real here. That's just eating with some sensible limits. And I think it's very important to recognize where you're at in your journey and where you're at in regards to your results. Because for me, it was fine to put on 10 pounds because I've got 6 of it off. I was pretty lean before I went away. So that's, you know, me in a happy place with that. If you come back and you are resisting reality, if you're coming back and like, oh, I'm so frustrated with these results, it's not fair. Other people go away and they gain a pound and I've gained 7 pounds. You're fighting reality. You're making that experience negative. You're not doing anything to help you. You're just bemoaning the situation. If you want to do that, that's cool. I wouldn't recommend it, though. You're just making your present situation negative by choosing to focus on the bad things rather than saying, do you know what? I made some decisions that were excessive. In hindsight, I would do things differently. That's how it is. Now I'm going to work on losing this weight, which is exactly what I did. You know, I ate to excess, reflected on it, didn't beat myself up about it, and just got back on task and enjoyed it for what it was, which was a decadent holiday.
And I suppose slightly off tangent, not like us on a podcast, but that idea of reflection, I understand why people really struggle with it, because it does feel like I'm going to beat myself up for this food choice. I shouldn't have done this and I shouldn't have that. And it's not that. You know, the reflection of why we do the daily reflections with our clients, why we do the weekly reflections, is so that they can learn and behave in a different way moving forward. So I suppose on a minor scale, that's what I did. I'll pick myself up. But previously, when I've gone away and gone all inclusive, when it's just been me and Tanya, then I've just eaten whatever I want and I've drunk and I've come back and I've gone like, you know what? I don't mind gaining like 2 kilos or 3 kilos or whatever it is, because I enjoy the process of working it off. But this year, like, I'm just not going to do that. I want to kind of not like test myself, because it wasn't a challenge, but look at those beliefs and go like, is this adding anything to the experience of the holiday? If I have 3 desserts each meal, will that make a better holiday?
Were they the little square desserts you get on inclusives?
There was various things. I'll get into my tactics, but you know, if I think back now, like I think about the holiday, yeah, we had a great holiday, fantastic first holiday, absolutely loved it. There's none of that like, I wish I'd had an extra slice of cake each day though. You know, there was not a like, well, I wish I'd had a family bag of crisps every single day. And don't get me wrong, I had cake and I had crisps. You know, I had all these things, but I didn't have them in excess. And obviously, there's a band in that, but that's gone over Joe's head because he's too young. Do you remember in excess?
I know of them.
Oh, don't lie to me. You'll probably think it's... Are they a Korean rap band? they're not alive, Joe. That's a very sore subject. We'll get onto the tactics anyway, of kind of what I did, and then you can reflect on what you did or didn't do with your journey. But for me, the whole thing was set up some parameters, have some kind of structure that I was going to follow each day, each meal, that would, because I was going all inclusive, so I didn't have massive control over the foods that were available, but did obviously have control over the portions and the choices that I made from those foods available. You know, it's a big buffet style thing. So I looked to, very similar to our system, funnily enough, add as opposed to just taking away. I added and I moderated. Those would be the two kind of things that I did. So for every single meal I had some source of protein and some source of high fiber. So breakfast, it was protein and it was fruit. Because, oh no, sometimes I had vegetables for breakfast. So there's always eggs available, scrambled eggs, fried eggs. There's always some kind of strange bacon. There was always tons of fruit. I ate 3 kiwis every single day, loads of pineapple. And then usually with the kind of fry-up style breakfast, there'd be like mushrooms or tomatoes or something like that as well. So for every single meal I had, I prioritize the protein sauce. That's what I go first, right? What's the protein sauce? Like a proper sado? No. And then build my meal around that. And that means that I've got a ton of nutrient-dense, slow-digesting foods that are going to keep my blood sugar balanced. Instead of me going, right, there's the pancakes. Let me put a load of maple syrup on that. And powdered sugar, I saw a kid have the most powdered sugar ever. He licked his plate afterwards. Me and Magnus were looking at him like, what is going on? Like, I'm pretty, you know, free and easy with letting Magnus choose his food. But if he was like, I'm going to put this amount of powdered sugar, like, you're not doing that. No way. It was mental. So if I'd have started off with that, then I'm setting myself up for a real sticky day that's going to be full of hunger and it's going to be full of cravings because my blood sugar is going to be up and down like a roller coaster. So yeah, prioritizing protein, prioritizing some kind of high fiber food. And another one, starting my day off with water. To you. It's over to you, Joe.
Well, I think for the most part, I looked at the menus and ordered what I fancy. And I think one of the mistakes that I fell into that I see people going into is that pattern of behavior eating out. So if you go for a meal, you have what you want. Now that's all well and good if that's one or two or maybe even three or four meals a week. The problem is if you're on holiday and that's every day and you are, and it's harder because you're in that programming. So the day that I came home, I had straight back into the normal food I'd eat, which would be oats, milk, berries, whey, two meals of rice, veg and bolognese or curry or something like that, and then potatoes, broccoli, carrots, and protein sauce for tea. Well, I can't get any of those things on holiday. And so then my default setting is to go out for a meal and to enjoy myself. The problem then comes if that's for 14 days and we were, you know, moving around, eating in different restaurants, we weren't staying in the same place. And so what I didn't do was I wasn't being aware of my thoughts. So my immediate thought was eat what you want. That was the conditioning that I would have when I'm out and about. And I didn't have any awareness around that. And I just went and did it. And there's something that you said that I went to pick up on when you said, you know, you went and got your protein source like a sado. And a lot of people listen to this and they will think that. And I would just question that line of thought as well, because it's a bit like me saying, I'm going to get whatever I want because I'm going out for a meal. If you just let that thought run, then you suffer from it. And the same with saying, oh, James is such a sado for getting his protein in first. Because actually, would you ever notice someone at a restaurant or a buffet who's getting just a protein source first? Of course you wouldn't. Would you judge someone on their merit as a human being or their addition to your life on how they choose their food? Of course not. You know, it's this suggestion that you are more fun when you eat high calorie food. Like are the most fun people, you know, the fattest ones or the ones who eat the most high calorie food? Of course not. There's not this direct correlation. Of course, if somebody's dieting themselves to, you know, extremely lean levels or over dieting, then they're not going to be much fun. That's not what we're talking about here. We're challenging these views and these thoughts that people have. And that's the issue that I fell into. And that you, interestingly, are you saying, oh, I've had this thought of being a bit of a sado, but I don't care. I'm going to make this choice anyway. It's the right one for me. Whereas I had immediate thoughts of I'm going out for a meal. I'm going to eat what I want. And then that rolled. And then that meant that I didn't have the moderation that I could have done. And so it's just recognizing that our thoughts are always at play here and looking at these patterns of behavior, the patterns of thoughts you have that lead to patterns of behavior. And as soon as you start to become more aware of these, then you'll be more successful in changing the end results.
I would say that I would judge you if you ordered your steak well done.
Yeah, I probably would go with that, absolutely.
That's the caveat on that one.
I would judge you if we went to IKEA and you didn't get the side of peas. I remember I was counting the numbers of people who were getting meatballs, mash and peas, and it was about 50-50. I was like, you can just hide them in the gravy. The gravy's delicious.
You could just eat them first. Just eat them and get it over and done with if you really don't like peas. Peas are delicious. They're sweet anyway. Anyway, so that was basically breakfast, lunch, dinner, all protein sauces, all high-fiber foods. And then I would finish with fruit and yogurt pretty much every single meal as well. I ate loads of food, but loads of high-volume food as well. So going back to, like, not having much choice again, I've got no way. So some days I'd have, like, three fried eggs, and I'd have bacon, and then I'd have a load of vegetables with it, like loads of mushrooms or whatever it was. Sometimes I'd have, like sautéed potato. Basically, it's whatever's leftover veg from the night before in it. We'll just kind of sauté it up with potatoes and stuff.
I was very worried when he said, I have fiber every morning. I was like, please don't say bread.
No, no, no. Oh, no, so, yeah, a couple of days I had bread because I had scrambled eggs on toast. And again, but then I'd still prioritise the protein. I'd still have actual, so I won't class bread as fiber, personally. Don't worry.
That was my concern.
No, don't be concerned by that. And then, yeah, I'd finish with, like, yogurt and a load of fruit and stuff like that. Just really, really filling up. So I didn't snack much. I was kind of stuck to the three meals, which is kind of probably lower volume than what I'd normally have. Normally I'd have kind of like four meals and maybe a snack as well. Like I said, and I drink water. So what else I did, or what I did, what else I did? Yeah, is I drink or aim to drink. Again, these are all just aims. Sometimes I break them. Sometimes I'd stick to them. At least 2 liters of water. So I'd have water bottles. I went down to Lidl's. It was Lidl 4 minutes away. Perfect. Definitely go back to the hotel just because it was so close to Lidl's. And I'd buy, like, you know, 6 2-liter bottles of water, and I'd drink that during the day. But then I'd make sure I have a glass of water with my meal as well. And then for lunch and dinner, I'd probably have a beer as well. Or maybe later on I have a vodka and Coke, but that's a different one. So water was another thing that I was keeping myself hydrated. So I'd have the 2 liter of water that I drink throughout the day, but then I'd add glasses of water to each meal as well. How was your hydration or concerns with hydration when you were away?
Poor, I'd have said. It wasn't something that I factored in.
Well, I was conscious because I was obviously somewhere really hot as well.
Yeah, it was colder. I was moving around more, but they're all just excuses. I certainly could have done. You know, a lot of this stuff is just excuses and justifications. You know, there's loads of solutions in here, and I'm aware of them. It wasn't really a key consideration. I think me talking about my water intake in America is a bit like similar to our clients when they say their biggest issue is their water intake. Like, that's not it. So it's probably best to move on to the next.
It depends on the situation, doesn't it? Like, it's more relevant to me because I'm there in a hot country, and then probably the less water I drink, then the more likely I'm going to go to the all-inclusive bar and get something that's going to be higher in calories.
Yeah, it was like minus 10 for quite a few points. I reckon one of the days, we'll talk about exercise in a bit because that is one of the things I did do well. One of the days I went running was probably the coldest I've ever been in my whole life.
And it was like Windy City.
Minus 10, yeah.
So let's talk about exercise energy. So for me, there was a gym on site, and I went once, and I did 40 minutes working out with an empty barbell, which was basically, let's just get really, really pumped and go down to the pool and see if Tanya notices. Like, have you grown everywhere by 2.5 inches? No, I'm just really, really pumped. And it was literally, I did like a minute on. Did I do a minute? No, I did 100 reps on loads of different exercises. Just like kind of like press ups, over presses, bent over rows, like nothing major. Obviously, no legs. No one needs to see your pumped up quad. No one needs a pumped up quad halfway through a holiday. So I would say I very hardly did any exercise. There was no like active, like, right, I'm going to hit 10,000 steps. Most days I did, probably just because I was running around after Magnus and a couple of trips to the supermarket. So there was no like real like focus on how many calories have I burned today. Like, I wear a Fitbit, I have my Fitbit on. And most days I did that 10,000 just naturally, just by making sure it wasn't getting up to any mischief in the kids' disco.
And let's be very clear here that is not why James didn't gain as much weight on holiday. So make sure we're crystal clear here, because I ran something like 56 miles in 12 days when I was away, training for a marathon, which is this week. So it was the one thing, and I tend to wake up earlier anyway. So it felt to me like the way that I could help balance the holiday. And obviously, I think I gained 13 pounds over the 17 days I was away. I was on holiday for like 14 of those or 13 of those. And once my weight had settled down, it was 10 pounds, 9 or 10 pounds it was. So it's eye-opening, I think, for me, because so often people say, you know, when you go away on holiday, you'll gain 7 pounds, but most of that will be water. Well, not technically. You know, I gained 10 pounds of genuine weight over 2.5 weeks. And it just shows, including running 55 miles, you know, that is marathon training, that's a serious wedge of distance to get through, on top of walking around as well. You know, I don't know what my step count was. If you're doing 27 miles of running a week, it's probably going to be quite high. And so it just shows you just need to get your food right. If you want to control this and you want to not gain too much weight when you go away, you must get your food to some degree on point. You cannot just eat what you want without exercising, because if I couldn't do that, doing that much running, then I don't think anyone else is going to be able to. Or, unless you go on an activity holiday, unless you go on like, a, you know, when people do these triathlon retreats, otherwise you're not balancing the books that way.
And you'll like this joke, so I'll massage your ego. In the nicest possible way, that is you not being able to like outburn those calories ingested with a big hulking muscular frame. You know, you're not, again, I'm not singling anyone out. You're not an 80 kilo, 5'5" woman who's actually probably like a 55 kilo woman in an 80 kilo body. You know what I mean? You're someone who has high muscle mass, who's lean, who can process food quickly and easily, efficiently, and you still can't outrun it. You know, so people do fall into that trap. Like, well, I sprained my ankle, and then that's when I gained, you know, a stone. Like, it wasn't the exercise that was keeping that stone off. It's probably your decisions, because you're just like, well, I can't exercise now, so sod it.
Well, your frustration is dealing with that, absolutely.
Yeah. So, moving on, getting back on subject. So, protein, fiber, water. Next one. This is basically just describing our plan, but it's for the holiday thing. I put moderation in on my kind of like higher calorie foods. And again, I didn't stick to this every single day, I'll tell you now. But all I did was, the days that I didn't stick to it, the next day I was like, let's just get back to it. So I allowed myself two kind of sweet treats per day. So that would tend to work out as like I'd have a dessert at lunch and I'd have a dessert at dinner. And that was it. And I stuck to one. And the thing is, normally when I'd go like, well, I'll have a bit of that, I'll have a bit of that, I'll have that. And I'd come back with my dinner plate full of different cakes. And I'd have eaten all of them. I'd been like, there, that was really good. It made me value the one that I did have. So then I'd go back and I'd have my bowl with my yogurt in, and I'd have, you know, loads of pineapple, and I'd have loads of melon or whatever it is, and then I'd have one slice of cake. And to be fair, Magnus would usually eat quite a bit of that as well. But that was enough for me. Now, again, I broke that a couple of times because I'd have my lunch and I'd have my dinner, and then we might go to the beach, and then maybe I'd have an ice cream as well, an ice cream a couple of days. I didn't go, right, well, that's it, I've blown my holiday. It's like, okay, these are targets. I'm going to aim to eat just two sweet things a day. And again, that could have been like, oh, fuck, I had an ice cream at the beach, so I'm not going to have my cake at lunch. It just gives you more control, but it gives you permission to not then tailspin by going, I'm going to massively restrict, I'm going to have no desserts whatsoever. Like, I've got those tokens to spend if I want to. And it did happen. But maybe I'd have gone on an evening and gone like, you know what, there's nothing there that's tickling my fancy. There's nothing there. So I'm just not going to have it. And that'd be all right as well, because I've got permission to have it. So that was another thing, again, just having some kind of idea of what I was going to allow myself to have.
The opposite of that with me, which was when you take the brakes off and say, I can have whatever I want, is you then fall into the trap of excess. Is that when you start a meal, like going shopping hungry, you got, I'd really like to eat. You know, think about when you take, I guess for me, ordering takeaway. Oh, I'd quite like a pizza. Yeah, some chips would be nice. And some onion rings. Slice of fudge cake, that'd be good too. Maybe a tin of Coke. Oh, actually, the mozzarella dippers sound good. That's three takeaways worth of food, because I've just reeled off the foods that I would like. The problem then, if you go and buy those things, is you're then going to eat those things. And so if you don't have, I was talking to a really good client of mine this morning and saying that she will plan her food in advance. And so she will say, right, I'm going to have 50 grams of carrot, 50 grams of hummus, and then I'm going to have my melon in the afternoon. But then she will eat that regardless of whether she's hungry or whatever else is going on. And so that can be great from a fat loss perspective. And I would encourage people to start in that place. But the progression from that is recognizing when you don't need it. And so you're having moment-to-moment present awareness. And this is where mindful eating is so useful, because if you put six cakes on your plate, you might have had enough by three. If you plan to have six, then you might not even need them. And it's so easy to get into this habitual pattern of eating. If you've done it your whole life, if you've done it for 10 years, you know, I'm 33 and I've done it for large portions of my life. You plate up the food and you eat it. And therefore you fall into this trap where you could easily stop if you were just more aware. It's not easy. It's only easy once you're able to do it. And the reason I struggle, I can do this so much better at home, but I struggle when I'm away. And so if you want to manage this, you have to be really switched on. You don't, as we said at the start, you don't have to, but you then have to be able to deal with the consequences and to accept those consequences. And I think that from that perspective, with me being like, I'm just going to get whatever I want, is I'm indulging those thoughts. You know, be careful what you wish for, because you might get it. is that I don't look back and be like, I'm really glad that I ate whatever I wanted. And that's the other point I wanted to make. Very often people will fall into this really subtle trap and you'll say to them, was it worth it? And they'll say, I really enjoyed it. And that's not the answer to the question, because I really enjoyed all the food that I had. If you have high fat, high sugar, processed, refined food, it is probably going to be enjoyable. That doesn't mean it's worth having either. You know, if I sat down now and ate 200 grams of chocolate, it would be enjoyable. Even the last bit would be slightly enjoyable. And the aim isn't to get to the point where high calorie food is repulsive, because you're going to have to eat an awful lot of it to get there. The aim is to get to the point where you've had enough and it's sufficient. And actually, if I look at all of my food when I was away, it was enjoyable. How much of it was excessive? I don't know. Half of it? I could have cut down massively and not affected the enjoyment of that holiday on the whole. I would have had a little bit less pleasure from food, but it's because I would have eaten three quarters of what I did. And so it's so important you ask yourself that specific question. Was it worth it? Did I need to have this? Would I have suffered if I'd had a bit less? Because that will give you the real answer. The question is not, did you enjoy it? Because you're always going to enjoy it. And so you have to, if you want useful answers, you have to ask useful questions. And did I enjoy it is not one of those.
I think that can be a bit of a sticky question for some people. Like, if you go like, well, did you need it? And they're like, well, no, I didn't need it. You know, you could get away by just eating gruel and drinking water. You know what I mean? Like, to survive. Like, that's not what we're saying.
No, it's such a cop-out answer, isn't it? It's a real exaggeration of what we're saying.
So to go back to your example of the takeaway, you know, if you'd have just ordered the pizza, right, and then you'd eat the pizza, you'd be like, you know what, I'm full. I'm good. I'm really glad I didn't order that other stuff. But if you did order all that stuff, the odds of you eating it all is really, really high, because it's there in front of you. Like, well, I'll have a slice of pizza now. I'll just have a few chips. I'll have an onion ring. And I'll have a mozzarella dip or whatever you said. You know, I'll have this, have that. And I'm like, well, the dessert's there, so I'm going to have that. It's a little bit of a change in taste, you know, changing textures. So that checking in on yourself, like, do I need, you know, you could eat that piece, like, right, do I need to eat the onion rings? Yes. Okay, we eat those. Like, right, well, do I need to eat the chips? No, I'm absolutely stuffed. Having that ability and that awareness and that mindfulness to be able to check in with yourself. Like you said, it's just got like, be honest with yourself. Did I need to eat that extra, you know, the five chocolates instead of two? No, not really. That was a bit excessive. And all you're doing is you're giving yourself some evidence, some knowledge, so the next time you're presented with that situation, you can make a different informed choice instead of lying to yourself and just going, yeah, it's totally worth it. I really enjoyed it. Like, yeah, the question is not, did you enjoy it? Like you said, the question is, would you do anything different? And that's not to make you feel bad, but I feel like we're getting into like a coaching program here now. So, and then the last thing I did, which is not a really big one for me, is just look at my alcohol. What would I be prepared to drink each day? And I was like, right, three drinks. And I think maybe a couple of days I might have gone over that, only by one, not a big drinker. You know, so it's quite easy for me to moderate that, but for other people, for Joe, for example. So I'm very easy to go like, right, I'll have three beers and that's it, I'm done. Whereas Joe, I'll speak for you now, Joe. Sometimes when you get on it, you're on it. So it's more realistic for you to go, right, I'm going to limit the drink choices that I have. So you could go for like, you know, a spirit and a diet mixer or Prosecco or gin, you know, gin and diet tonic or whatever. I know you've done that kind of previously on a night out. So then you're limiting the amount of potential calories by limiting the calories per drink as opposed to me limiting the amount of drinks. If that makes sense. I don't know. Does that sound right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm gonna dig into the mindset stuff again, because that's what I do. Is a lot of the time, if I go out, I won't drink. You know, I can think of quite a few meals recently where I've gone out and just had Diet Cokes or waters because I'm not that bothered. And we talk about patterns of behavior and becoming more aware of this. When I went on holiday to America, I was with two of my school friends and our partners. Now, my school friends are the people I drink with, and then the people I drink, one of the lads in particular is like the guy who I go out drinking with. So therefore, patterns of behavior, patterns of thinking were, I'll drink what I want, I'll drink as much as I want. I'll often have, you know, there must have been quite a few days when we had Bloody Mary cocktails at like 10, 11 a.m. And I didn't question it because that's what I've done before. And so if you can recognize what I'm saying there, which for a lot of people is going to be, you know, my default setting is not drinking. because I don't spend much time with my school friends anymore. You know, now I'm 33 and a lot of them are married with kids. But when I do see them, I easily go back into those patterns. Now, this is hard for people if their pattern is already drinking, is that that feels like something that is just how it is. It's something that you almost can't, you're not aware that you can let go of it yet. But this is a choice that you're actively engaging in because there are other people not drinking. And I mentioned before, my dad was used to be a, what's the right phrase? The kinder way of someone being like a functioning alcoholic. You know, my dad would drink every single day and he stopped 22 years ago. A couple of months, it'd be 22 years ago, and he just stopped overnight because he changed the way he was thinking. Because, you know, something happened, it changed the way he thought. Doesn't happen to everyone. You know, it's not because he was really ill, it's because he started looking at life differently. And that's what you can do, Pete, not James, but people listening to this, with your alcohol intake, is that at the moment you are making a series of justifications which are thoughts in your head. They don't have to be this way. You don't have to finish a bottle of wine with someone else. You don't have to get a bottle to have a good night. You don't have to get wine to be social. You can have other things and tick those boxes. And it's the first port of call is to become aware of that. I think the thing I want to keep coming back to is that I was accepting of the weight that I gained. When I came back, I got the scales, was like, that's about as bad as I was expecting it to be. But there was no resistance in that. The problem that I see people having is they come back and they're so angry and they're so frustrated and it's so unfair and it's so disappointing. So suddenly, me and that client I've just made up have had the same holiday, the same positive experiences, and now they've turned a massive chunk of it into negative, whereas mine is completely neutral because I just look at it and accept it for what it is. And always ask yourself when you're thinking these things, is this true when it comes to the alcohol? Do you have to make these decisions? And then am I fighting something that I can't change? If you come back and the scales say that you're 10 pounds heavier, that is how it is. Don't move the scales around. Don't buy a new set. You know, you don't even have to say, I'm going to weigh myself in a week, because that would give me a true reaction, a true reflection. You can just get on the scales and accept whatever the number is. And that is such a powerful skill. When we met up the other day, we were talking about this, and I was saying, I feel I'm calmer now than I've ever been in my life. And you kind of agreed in your experience with me that I am. And I think you're someone who's particularly, you know, the whole time I've known you, you've been very calm. And to look back on the differences that we had before was I wouldn't accept things as well as you. You know, you are probably reading between the lines, I'm guessing here, just you accept things when they happen. And that's how it is. And I think that historically I didn't do that. And that's one of the reasons now I'm calmer. So if you go away and you get frustrated with the way in, then that's what you need to do. It's just, this is how it is. You can't change it now. What are you going to do? You can't click Control Z. You can't rewind time. All you can do is learn from it. You can have a quick reflection, learn from it, and then you can start working on getting back to where you were before. And that's just such a happier way to be, rather than wasting your time getting angry about decisions that you made.
Unfair is the word I was going to pipe in when you were saying that, when people do get that reaction, like, this is unfair. Like, well, it's not. Unfortunately, it is what it is. Like you said, you know, that £10 is £10.
Not fair. It's not unfair. It's nothing. It's completely neutral. You're adding an opinion to it, aren't you? Sorry to jump on your show.
No. On you go. And the only way, again, so going back to those stories that we tell ourselves, like, well, I can't be the only one not drinking. Or have more fun. Well, you know, this is just what we do. Well, try something different. And you know what? If you go out and you go, like, you know what? I normally just drink without care. But tonight, I'm going to have 2 glasses of wine, I'm going to have 1 gin and tonic, and then I'm going to go to soft drinks. Do that. Try it. See if it works. And if you have it and you have the shittest night ever, then maybe it wasn't the right approach. But then if you go, I had an awesome night, you know what the best bit was? Just being with mates, just sharing stories, just having a laugh, and all those things. Like, then we've got some proof that, okay, we don't have to go out and get absolutely arsehole to have a good time. You know, the example I normally give is, like, if you're meeting up with your friends for cake, if you're meeting up with your friends for coffee, like, do you have to have, like, a 500 calorie coffee and then a 700 calorie piece of cake for that experience to be great? Or is the experience you meeting up with your friends, sharing stories, having a laugh and taking the piss and do whatever you would do? Like, that's the important bit. There's going to be times where the food is worth it. You know, we speak to people, they go, like, I've got an 11 course tasting menu. Well, don't skip the carbs on that. Don't go nuts. Sorry, not for me, not for that one. you know, there's the rare date night that you get and you go out to the restaurant that you first went to when you first started dating or whatever, like, go and enjoy that. That's worth it. It's looking at all the other bits that weren't worth it and, you know, challenging that belief that, well, when I have a pizza, well, I have to have onion rings and I have to have chips and I have to have mozzarella sticks, so I have to have a fudge cake. Like, well, do you? Why don't you just try not doing that and see if your life sucks? Because I bet it won't. I bet, you know, the 99 out of 100 clients, no, probably 100 of the clients that I speak to, 100%, when they make a decision that was different, I go like, how do you feel about that? You know, do you regret not doing X, Y, Z? Or are you feeling pretty smug today that you didn't do it? They're all feeling smug. They're all really happy because they're challenging those beliefs, which you can do with your holidays. If you feel that you want to go away and eat everything that's available, challenge it. You know, I suppose that's what I did on a minor level. Obviously, I've got a bit more depth and scope into these decisions because of the job that I do. But I don't regret not eating more shit on holiday. You know, I'm really happy. I enjoy my food. Didn't feel restricted. There's no point where I was like, oh, I wish I could eat this. I wish I could eat that. I was looking at the desserts. Because the fact is, I could have. I only put this structure in place for myself. And I come home, fine, straight back on with what I was doing. You know, supposed to go like, oh God, now I've got to work for 3 months to lose this weight. Like,
that's exactly what I was just thinking. I wanted to pipe in with is that your ability to bounce back should probably determine your decisions here. Because as a lady who I work with, I was going to give my example, but I will give my example. In fact, because I want to be honest, I can gain more. We can gain more than most people, and it'd be okay because of the speed that we can lose it. So I'm currently 2 kilos above where I was kind of at my leanest before I went away. I know I can get that off in 2 to 3 weeks because I'll nail my running, I'll nail my training, I'll dial the food in, I won't go out on the weekends, and then I can then give myself, so I'll be losing weight quite quickly. I'll lose 2 pounds a week, lose a kilo a week, and then give or take, and then I can have a bit more flexibility. And I thought, I won't tell that story because it's completely irrelevant because I'm a 33-year-old man who runs marathons or is about to run marathons.
So people, yeah, hang on, don't get ahead of yourself.
It doesn't resonate. However, just gone on and have a look at one of my clients and looked at the speed of which, because her weight will fluctuate slightly. So all of these are 3 pound gains. She lost them in 3 days, 11 days, and 4 days. And they are, and that is gradually coming down over time. So previously her weight bottomed out at the top of a stone bracket, and now it's currently at 8 pounds, so 6 pounds below that. So you can imagine it goes up by three, it comes down by five, it goes up by three, it comes down by five, it goes up by three, it comes down by five. And all of those times it's come down, she's lost the gain in 3 days, 4 days, and 11 days. So one of the times is a little bit slower, the other two times is within half a week. Now that's what we're looking for here, because if you can do that, if you can go away and gain weight and get the weight off that quickly, then by all means go for it. The problem that most people have is they lose two, they gain one and a half, they lose one, they gain another half. They don't have the consistency that means they can get short-term weight off quickly. So the lady who I gave an example of there, she will have a blowout of sorts and gain a few pounds, and then she will apply herself and lose it. If you can do that, like her, like me, like James, then you have more wiggle room for holidays. If you're going to gain 5 pounds, it takes you 10 weeks to get it off. Then you've got a real issue, because you know, how many holidays are you going to go on this year? How many weeks off are you going to have from your diet? Because if you gain it and then lose it, you know, and it takes you a quarter of a year, then you only have four times that you can take your foot off the gas. That's not very many, really, over the course of a year. If you've got Easter, Christmas, your birthday, and a wedding, or whatever it may be. So it's about applying yourself to the level that's necessary. So you can take your foot off the gas quite a lot if you can get it back on quickly. Whereas if your maximum effort is, you know, a quarter of a pound a week, half a pound a week, then you have to be super consistent. You know, you can't afford to have those big gains. And so when people say, oh, I'm a slow loser, everyone's a slow loser. You know, the lady who I've just mentioned would class herself as a slow loser. But it's not strictly true. With some people, it's the effort that the people are putting in when they need to that's the issue.
The effort and the consistency, isn't it? Because then that perceived lack of results causes them to quit or to put less effort in. And that's, I think lends itself nicely to one of Jocko's favorites, isn't it? Discipline equals freedom. And people see discipline as being like massively restrictive. And for me, it's the exact opposite. Because the more disciplined I can be, then the more wiggle room I have to mess around. So if I can eat well all week and I can be consistent with training, I can definitely be consistent with training. Eating well is slightly harder. Then I've got more wiggle room to go to the cinema with Magnus on Sunday, watch Super Mario's, highly recommend it, Super Mario Brothers, and then have pizza and chips, and then not be like, oh, I've messed up on my diet, because then I just have a normal dinner. You know, it's that, it gives me that freedom. Whereas, you know, if someone in the same position had had, well, a sausage roll and a sausage bat on Monday, and then, you know, two pieces of cake on Tuesday, and this, and had all these small, what seemed like small, you know, 300-400 calorie blips throughout the week, then that pizza is probably a really bad idea for them on the Sunday, because that's going to be another 600-700 calories added to their weekly total. But because I'm disciplined, and again, that doesn't mean like massively restrictive, because I just watch what I eat, it gives me freedom to have those meals and to go on holiday and, you know, have cake each day and do those things. So it's not about massive restriction, it's just about being consistent. Consistent. Good?
Yeah, very good.
Quick recap. Have protein at each meal. Again, this is just recommendations. It's just advice. Do what you want with it. I don't care. This is just what we would advise and what I did, Jordan. Have protein, yeah, so you can either gain no weight like me or you can gain 17 pounds like Jordan. It's up to you. Prioritize protein and high fiber. Again, fruit or vegetables, I don't care, at each meal. Fill your boots. Drink water each meal, you know, stay hydrated. It's not a massive one, but it's a good one. Put some kind of structure around your high-calorie foods, whatever you're going to have. And I would advise putting some kind of structure around your drinks as well, whether that's the amount that you'll have per day or the types of drink that you'll have or a combination of the two. And you'll be grand. And enjoy yourself. Just enjoy yourself. And if you come back, you get a couple of pounds, you get a couple of pounds. Then you can assess it. Was it worth it? Was there anything I'd do different the next time I go on holiday all-inclusive? For me, I don't think there is. I don't think there is anything I'd do different. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
When you were eating, were you really present with the food as well? Like, were you like messing around playing? I guess it's hard because you've got, you know, a young child. But for me, thinking about the holidays, that I would suggest that people are as present when they're having that high calorie food as possible. So it's a bit like when people go to the cinema and they eat 200 grams of popcorn. Like, you didn't really notice that. Whereas if you go out and have a nice meal and you're really focused on what you're eating, you can get more pleasure from less food.
Oh, Joe, you don't have a child, do you? You don't have a nice meal when you've got a child. You don't have a nice meal. I try to be. It's a little bit tricky because obviously you're in a big restaurant.
Food hall.
Yeah, food hall, food trough with lots of kids making lots of noise. So then you keep an eye on yours. So I try to be as mindful as possible. There's a lot of me putting my knife and fork down as I went to go get him something else to eat. I wouldn't say massively. I'm not great at mindfully. I do eat often like I'm in prison. Like someone's going to come and take this food off me at any moment. So I'm not always the best at mindfully. That's probably one of my definite weaknesses. And one of the other ones I'm really conscious of is I'm a real bad plate clearer. So that makes it even more important that I fill my plate up with really high volume foods because I will eat pretty much until everything's gone. I'm not like, oh yeah, I'm full now. Like unless I get the perfect portion every single time. So I wouldn't say massively mindful.
Mindful eating and plate clearing go very hand in hand, I think. So if you're a mindless eater, will clear their plate.
So yeah,
it's two sides of the same coin.
I'm like, it's like I'm on a mission. Right, play this plate. How quickly can you do it?
Stopwatch. No. Yeah. I did run out for a meal with Chris a while ago, and I got the big steak. I was like, I think I'm going to struggle to finish this. I best eat it as I've watched the Man V Food videos. I best eat this as fast as possible. I think I talked for like 20 minutes.
Before it hits your stomach, before it gets too cold. Right, thanks as always for listening. I hope that helps. If you've got any specific questions around that or anything else, drop us an email, drop us a message on Facebook, drop us a message on Instagram. We're very contactable. Joe's phone number is...
he especially likes WhatsApp between the hours of 9 p.m. and 6 a.m.
Right, team. Thank you very much for listening. We appreciate every single one of your ears.